Calling the Subcommittee on Elections to order. We do have a quorum, and Senator Sieben, we have Senate File 455 before us. If you would like to present the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and committee members. I know that members are in other committees and will be coming in and out. I'm going to go through the bill before us. I would like to offer the A5 amendment. This will get the bill in the shape that I would like, and this is actually the election omnibus bill. So it's five separate articles that I'll explain after we adopt it.
Okay, and so Senator Sieben moves the A5 amendment, which we would be working off of, to get it in the shape and form that she would like. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails, and Senator Sieben to the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the committee members, just so you understand, too, it seems a little bit early to be moving an omnibus bill out of committee, but this bill, it's our understanding, has at least three more committee stops to make. So to meet the deadline, we thought that today was as good a day as any to get it moving. So I'll just run through all of the different articles. Jen Bruntlett, the committee administrator, did email out the totality of the amendment to the committee members, and all of the provisions that are in here are bills that we've heard previously in the subcommittee. So I'll try to go through as quickly as possible, but also try to explain them well enough to jog your memory, too. So Article 1 of the bill is election administration. Much of the first article, including Section 1 from Senate File 455, is the elections administration bill, which I was the author of. Section 1 ensures that when a school board moves from a 7-member board to a 6-member board, 3 members of the board will be up for the election at the next election. So right now, under current law, instead of a 2-member election 1 year and then a 4-member election the following year. Sections 2, which is our lines 1.21 and 1.25, are new in the A5 amendment. These provisions replace Senate File 539, which was Senator Bonhoff's bill related to recall elections for school board members. The language that I'll explain here is something that Senator Bonhoff, Kiffmeyer, and I worked on together to arrive at this compromise. So if you remember, under current law, a school board member may be removed by the other members of a school board, and then an appointment is made to fill the vacancy. A special election is required if there's more than 2 years remaining on the term. Under the amendment that's before you, a member may still be removed by the other members of the board, so that provision isn't being modified. But an appointment is still made to fill the vacancy, but a special election is required if more than 1 year remains on the term. The language in the existing statute was set up in a manner that would only work with an election at the 2-year mark. So we're repealing that section and replacing it with a new section that very closely mirrors the county special election statute. This is found in Section 3. Section 2 adds a cross-reference in the existing statute to the new statute created in Section 3. Senator Kiffmeyer may want to look at this more, but as I said, this is language that she and Senator Bonhoff worked on. Sections 4 and 5 are from Senator Hayden, Senate File 1193, which specifies that when a party files a petition to become a major or minor party, those signatures must be collected in the year the petition was filed. Sections 6 and 7 are from the admin bill and provide a definition for partisan and nonpartisan office. Section 8 is also from the admin bill. It removes obsolete language that applied only to 2010 and 2011. Starting on August 1st of 2013, the Secretary of State was required to give electronic lists to counties monthly, and this change gets rid of the language referenced in 2010 and 2011 and requires the Secretary to provide the lists to the counties on a monthly basis. Section 9 is from Senator Herr's Senate File 297. the uniformed and overseas citizen absentee voting, or for children who are born abroad to vote the federal ballot. So if you recall, deletes an obsolete cross-reference to federal law and replaces it with the current cross-reference. And it contains a cross-reference to add the definition of military forces, which will now allow National Guard members to be included in those UOCAVA voting procedures. Sections 10 through 13 are from the admin bill, changing references from cassette tape to audio file. Section 11 allows voters to return their own absentee ballot on election day instead of having to use an agent. Section 12 allows the ballots to be returned by FedEx or other package delivery service to be accepted after the last U.S. mail delivery but before 8 p.m. on election day. If you recall, we wanted to make it consistent with the time that the voting places are open. Section 13 allows absentee ballot boards to compare the numbers on the absentee ballot return envelope. So that would be the last four digits of your Social Security number or a driver's license number to either the application or their official voter record. So, again, if you recall, sometimes a voter would put their driver's license on, their last four digits of the Social Security number would be in their voter file, but if those two numbers didn't match up, in other words, they didn't provide the consistent one for the application and the absentee ballot, then they would have to reject. They would still, election officials would still have to reject the ballot. So that's fixing that. Sections 14 to 17 are from Senator Herr's Senate File 297. So it provides that, as I said referenced earlier, children who haven't resided in the U.S., may vote if their parent maintained residence in Minnesota previously and if they met all other eligibility requirements. And again, this would apply for children who are living abroad, and they could only vote the federal ballot, I should add. Section 16 deletes language that states a Social Security number qualifies as a person's military ID number. And that language is no longer needed because military members aren't required to use their Social Security numbers on absentee ballot applications. Section 17 is a conforming change. Sections 18 to 20 are from the admin bill. So 18 allows individuals that have already statutorily protected addresses to omit those addresses on the public portion for their affidavit of candidacy. Section 19 allows students to serve as student election judges in counties other than the county where they reside. So this would allow them to serve in places where they go to school, for example. Section 20 removes the requirement that the name of each candidate be printed in all capital letters. And then sections 21, 22, 28, 31 to 34, 46 to 55 are removing references where voters would place an X or a square instead of accommodations for our current optical scan balloting system, which allows for an oval or other similar shape. Changes in these sections also allow the words yes and no to be written in upper and lower case. So, and clarifies that if a voter votes for more than one party in the primary, the ballot is spoiled only for that partisan section of the ballot. Section 23 is from the admin bill. It ensures that titles for judges be printed in both upper and lower case. Section 24 is Senator Eakin's bill to make mail balloting available to more small cities, increasing the cap from the number of registered voters from 400 to 1,000. And it's only available, I should add, outside the metropolitan area. Sections 25 to 29 are from the admin bill as well. 25 conforms the timeline for processing mail ballots with absentee ballots. 26 clarifies the right that you have a right to take time off from work to vote for all regularly scheduled federal, state, county, and municipal elections. 27 removes the requirement that voters fold their ballot before putting in the ballot box. 29 removes the requirement that a voter hand the ballot to an election judge who will then insert it into the ballot box. We now have voters directly insert their own ballots into the ballot box. Section 30 is Senator Herr's voter assistance bill. As you recall, we've heard from a number of people who supported expanding access to assistance at the polls. Senator Herr's bill had raised the cap, and after discussions with him and others, the language that is in this provision removes that cap entirely. Council reviewed the state statutes of 25 other states and could only find one state, in addition to Minnesota, that now limits the number of voters an individual can assist. Arkansas has a statute provides that an individual cannot assist more than six voters, but NCSL wasn't aware of any other states besides Arkansas and Minnesota that provide a, that had a cap in their statute, so we're removing the cap in this section. Sections 35 to 39 are also from the admin bill. Sections 35 and 37, it doesn't change the timeline for requesting a recount, but clarifies that a request must be submitted by 5 p.m. on the last day that you can request one. Sections 36 and 38 ensure that in the case of a discretionary recount in a primary, the process for preparing the general election ballots isn't delayed and requires that the canvassing board certify the results of any recount as soon as they can. Section 39 ensures that a contest cannot be used to delay the issuance of an election certificate, if you remember that issue. Section 40, again, is Senator Herr's Senate File 297 a cross-reference. 41 to 45 are also from the admin bill. Sections 41 conforms the administrative practice of delivering an election certificate in the case of a special election to that of a regular election. We can talk about that more if anyone would like. Section 42 removes the requirement that instructions be printed in capital and lower. It removes the requirement that instructions have to be in all capital letters. 43 to 45 gets rid of unneeded language. Sections 52 contains an elections emergency planning task force, this bill that I authored that we discussed the other day. Section 53 repeals a number of Minnesota statutes that are listed at the back of the bill, and I can describe them if you'd like. But then moving on to Article 2 of the bill, this is Senator Eakin's Uniform Presidential Electors Act. Again, to remind members, it restates current statute requiring an elector to vote for the candidates for president and vice president to whom the elector is pledged. Article 3 of the bill relates to voter registration. It contains Senate Files 206 and 1346. 206 was a bill authored by Senator Carlson that would allow 16 and 17-year-olds the opportunity to pre-register to vote. Senate File 1346 is the bill that I authored that would provide for automatically update voters' registration when they sign up or renew their driver's license or state ID card. Article 4 is Senator Champion's bill, Senate File 355, the restoration of the right to vote for individuals who have been convicted of a felony after incarceration. Article 5 is the early voting, Senate File 414, the bill that I authored. It provides a 12-day window beginning 15 days before the election and ending the third day before it for individuals to vote early. Article 6 is Senator Hayden's redistricting bill, and it changes. It's not a – well, I made it sound more encompassing than it is. Redistricting bill as it relates to people who are incarcerated and how they are counted during the census. And then there are some other changes throughout the article that I think I can just answer questions on if there are any. Article 7 is the appropriations, which I didn't really look at it that closely, but it seems, even though this is not a finance bill, it looks like this overall bill doesn't carry much of a cost, as I think members do have the fiscal notes in your packets. They do not. Sorry, I'm seeing they do not, but happy to talk about it if they like. So with that, I'm happy to stand for questions.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Sieben. Any questions? Okay. And
Mr. Chair, I don't have anybody who I've asked to testify just because we've received testimony on these provisions previously, but obviously I'd welcome input if members of the audience would like to testify.
Sure. Anyone in the audience who would like to testify? Okay, I see none. And with that,
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator.
I feel a little uncomfortable without my other Republican colleagues, at least here, to go through this. But I think in the past, as all of these bills have come up, we've given our concerns that we've had with a lot of them. I don't think it's going to change the vote today. You know, we could go through different ones, but I'm not sure it's even needed. So there's enough in here for me to vote against it. And I think other members may have too. But I just thought I'd let you know that. And I guess we might as well proceed.
Okay. Any further comments? Okay, seeing
Mr.
none,
Chair.
This bill would be then re-referred to the Rules Committee. Is that the Rules
and
Administration?
Mr. Chair, I'd just add that the bill will have other multiple stops that it needs to take before it meets policy deadlines, so there'll be other opportunities for members and the public to weigh in on it. But I look forward to continuing to craft a bill that eventually can receive bipartisan support.
Right. Any further comments? With that, Senator Sieben moves that the Senate File 455 be recommended to pass as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion prevails and the bill is passed. So, and with that, no further business. No further business. The committee is adjourned.